Turn with me to the book of Jude. And as you make your way to the book of Jude, just to encourage you to purchase yourself the Daily Nuggets. That's a daily journey through the Bible. Now it's produced by Zathes. And you remember last year, sometime in October through to November, I think the elders had allowed our brother Mr. Kaunda to work with Zathes for a month, and what he was basically doing was editing the Daily Nuggets for 2019. And out of the about 62 of the people that have contributed articles to the Daily Nuggets, 14 of those are from within the Reformed circles. People like our own pastor, Pastor Mbewe, Pastor Ronald Kalifungwa, Pastor Isaac Makashini, our brother, Pastor Brian Mutale, Chopo Mwanza, and then our interns for last year. They did contribute articles to the Daily Nuggets, and actually some of our own KBC members, like our brother Jonathan Ntani, and then quite a number of them also from Lusaka Baptist Church. And I think the beauty about this one compared to most of their production is that the majority, in fact, when the articles were sent, our brother Francis Kaunda had to edit them, and then they had to be sent to our pastors to do the final edit, so that at least what comes out is something that would encourage even our members to be able to read without necessarily being afraid that they might be polluted. So you find, if you want to make yourself, to get yourself a copy, I think they are limited copies at the moment in the bookshop. But also if there's more demand, I think Zathes will be glad to bring more. I'm not sure of the price. It's 50, and it's for the whole year. So I would encourage you to actually get yourself a copy. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Jude, and we'll read the first 11 verses. Jude, and I commence reading, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, save as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when Michael the archangel, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. Let's seek light from above. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come again before you this afternoon pleading that you will speak to us. We pray that as we continue to make our way through the book of Jude, Lord, we depend on you, we rely on you, and we ask that you be our guide and our teacher. Cause that the Holy Spirit will help us to see what Jude was writing about and how relevant they are in our day-to-day. Father, unless you speak, our gathering and the preaching of your word will be but in vain. And so we ask that cause that I'll be a fit instrument to bring forth your word for your glory and for the good and edification of your people. Hear this our cry, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We are back in our studies in the book of Jude. And what we've been seeing, what was Jude's passion or Jude's desire, was to call on the saints to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude's call is a strongly expressed demand or request for action. And the action that Jude is calling the saints to do is to stand for the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an ongoing call to all the saints in every generation. Jude issued this call in his generation, and it is a call that must continue to ring throughout every generation till the Lord Jesus Christ himself returns. And the reason why Jude's letter is relevant to us today, but also the reason why this letter must be read and continue to be read, is that we live in a world that is full of counterfeits. And the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not spared. It's not immune to these counterfeits. And false teachers are also in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, using the very Bible to teach people otherwise and to cause them to shift their focus from the Lord Jesus Christ to themselves. And as these individuals teach false doctrine, they pollute the minds of God's people and God's congregation. And so Jude writes to remind us of the need to contend for the faith, but also on the need to be on the lookout of such individuals who come in innocently and before long they begin to cause havoc. And in verse 11, Jude gives us more insights on how we can identify these individuals who are false teachers. He gives us insights on how we can discern the teachings of these individuals. He highlights their motives and also the sway of such spiritual con men. And Jude mentions three examples of wickedness, or three examples of such spiritual con men as recorded in the Old Testament. And he wants us to see that this has always been the problem in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In as far, we can even go back to the Old Testament. We can come to the New Testament, and it will continue to be so. And hence, the need of saints to continue sounding out this call to stand and contend for the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again in verse 11, we see Jude's fondness of grouping items into threes. But also see that in his trio of what is bringing to us in verse 11, he achieves a gradual climax by mentioning that these examples from the Old Testament, he brings out the nouns that characterizes these individuals. As he talks of the way of Cain, the era of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And he's actually wanting us to see that these individuals are not just seated in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are busy doing something. And you can see from what he is mentioning that they are busy. They are not only active, but this is what characterizes them. The way of Cain, the era of Balaam, and the rebellion of Korah. And so the first thing he brings to us, he begins by declaring anguish of his soul over these spiritual conmen. There's this anguish within his soul when he thinks of such individuals. And you see he begins with verse 11 with those three words, woe to them. Woe to them. There's this anguish within Jude's own soul when he thinks of these individuals. And the lamentation, woe to them, is a typical phrase that is uttered throughout the scriptures by God's servants and God's prophets. You record in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, when Isaiah had a glimpse of the glory of God, immediately he pronounced woe to himself. Because what he saw, the only way to express what he saw was to lament and condemn himself. But also see that the Lord Jesus Christ uses this phrase in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 21, when he pronounces a curse on Chorazin and Bethsaida. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, he's lamenting. But also as he laments, there's this anguish of his soul when he looks at these cities where miracles were done and yet still continued in disbelief. Again, you see the Lord Jesus Christ using this phrase in Matthew 23. And this time, he's actually talking to the Pharisees. He's actually saying, woe to you, Pharisees, who do A, B, C, who make your followers to be worse than you. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying to them, you have seen the true gospel, and yet you continue in your sins. In Matthew 18, again the Lord Jesus Christ uses the phrase, but this time in reference to the temptations of the world. And he's saying, woe to him who causes any of these little ones to sin. Again, you see, there is anguish of the soul there. But there's also lament over what is being seen. And then when you go to the letters in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, there the Apostle Paul is using this verse, but this time in reference to himself. He's actually saying, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. And the Apostle Paul is basically saying, having come to know the gospel and experience the power of the gospel, and then I keep quiet, I may as well be condemned to death. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you go to the book of Revelation and chapter 8 and verse 13, there John, as he's seeing a vision, he actually sees in chapter 8 verse 13 where the word war is being mentioned, but this time as into the inhabitants of the earth. He's saying, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the things that John has been seeing. There's this lament that immediately fills his heart when he thinks of the things that are about to happen or the things that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going through. And here, Jude is pronouncing woe upon the ungodly men and women of his day. And he's actually saying these spiritual con men are heading for destruction. And again, Jude is filled with anguish of his soul when he thinks of these individuals and what they are doing and what their end is as God has revealed it. But also at the same time, Jude is sounding out a warning to his hearers as well as his leaders not to permit these godless men to lead them astray. And war is an expression of grief, an expression of annoyance. It is a lament as well as a condemnation. And so when these words are used in the Bible, you immediately see that the context is in reference to the impending disaster that will befall upon whichever individuals are receiving this lament or condemnation. And the Bible is very clear of the fate of false teachers. The Bible is very clear that they will be destroyed. And so Jude knew very well what would happen to these individuals. And he knew very well that one, they are in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, causing havoc within the church, but there is this impending danger that will befall them unless they turn away from their sins. And he cries out to them, woe to you! And the book of Jude, a large portion of it is dedicated to simply remind us of the corrupt acts of these false teachers. And when you read in verse 10 there, he's saying, but these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Jude is saying there in verse 10 that these people, they are brought to their own destruction. And the words in verse 10 are in the present tense, and in a passive voice. And what that simply means is that their state of continual destruction is unavoidable. They are in this state, and as long as they remain in that state and continue to teach false teachings, they will be destroyed. And the passive voice in that sense is indicating that the power that will destroy them is outside of them. It is a power that is more powerful, forceful than anything they know or can face or stand against. And so Jude is concerned about their condition. Their condition is clearly stated in black and white. And so when Jude uses this language which appears to be harsh, it's because he's concerned and he wants these individuals to wake up to the reality of their pending disaster. And he says, woe to them. He's actually lamenting to God. As he laments to his God, he's also bringing a condemnation to these individuals. There is grief within him. There is annoyance within him. But above all, he knows that these individuals are in a state of destruction. They will be destroyed by God. And he's saying, but these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed. He's saying, as long as they're in this path, it's very clear what would happen to them. And so in verse 11, as he connects where he's coming from, he says, woe to them. This harsh language is an indication of how dangerous the heresies these individuals are teaching to the body of Christ. And Jude doesn't want to hide his own anguish of the soul. He wants his hearers to know how he's feeling, what he's going through, because he knows that if they succeed in misleading many, they all, together with their disciples, will be destroyed. And Jude is saying, these individuals who have come into the church of Christ, who simply follow their instinct and not what the Bible says, these individuals who are blind to spiritual realities, who are deaf to the call of God, who sees self-determination as their highest good, if they continue in this state, a time will come when they will no longer continue to hear the warnings of God. They will be set in their ways, and as they gradually continue in their ways, they are getting closer and closer to their destruction. Individuals whose consciences are stubborn in sin. And Jude is saying, woe to them. Now, brethren, if we're serious about contending for the faith, we too must lament when we hear of spiritual con men in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we hear how these con men are misleading masses away from the gospel of Christ to the gospel of greed, covetousness, and to the gospel of sensuality, when we hear of such individuals, we must be filled with anguish of soul, because we know that not only are they leading masses away from God, God has revealed in his word, he will destroy them. Because these spiritual con men are causing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be mocked. They are causing Christians to be mocked, genuine born-again Christians to be mocked, because they paint themselves to the world that they are representing the church of Christ. And when you say you're a Christian, they immediately associate you or link you with these individuals. And yet when you examine the lives of these individuals, when you follow the things they teach, you realize that they are actually distorting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men are causing the world to mock at God. Because as far as the world is concerned, Christianity is one religion. They think in terms of Muslims, Hindus, Christianity. For them, they don't see why they need to begin to distinguish genuine born again and false individuals. The world simply think in terms of religious groups. And this is why Jude is so open, is so distressed, is in anguish. And he's saying, woe to such individuals. Because they are leading masses away from Christ. False teachers are causing havoc in the church. And those of us who are genuinely saved by the grace of God must be filled with this anguish of the soul and plead with the Lord to raise men and women, boys and girls, that will stand for the truth, that their lives will be an example to many of their peers, but also a challenge to individuals who are teaching wrong things. And so we see the anguish of Jude's soul when he thinks of such individuals. But the second thing we see is that he brings out three examples of these spiritual con men. He brings out three examples. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perish in Korah's rebellion. Jude gives these examples to try and bring his point home to the hearers. To most of his audience, these accounts, these Old Testament accounts, must have been accounts they were familiar with. And he wants to show them that these men or these individuals teaching wrong things can be likened to Cain, Balaam, and Korah. And each of these individuals faced severe consequences for their actions. And Jude is saying this will be the fate of these false teachers. They will face severe consequences for their actions when they stand before God. And the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 again brings out the same concerns that Jude has about these false teachers that are busy teaching wrong things. And the first example you see is that of they've walked in the way of Cain. They've walked in the way of Cain. Now, the name Cain is mentioned four times in the Bible. And each time the name is mentioned, it's in the negative. When you go to Genesis chapter 4, You remember the story. Cain was the firstborn to Adam and Eve, and also the first person to be born in this world. And as they were growing, a time came when they had to sacrifice, and Cain recorded himself in the history of the world as the first murderer when he killed his own brother. And again, when you come to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, again is used in the negative when the author looks at the faith of Abel and the faithlessness of Cain. Again, it's used in the negative. When you come to Jude here as well, Jude is also saying, for they've walked in the way of Cain, linking his statement to what he said before concerning these individuals that have come in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, this is what he says about Cain. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. And again, the Apostle John gives us this picture of Cain as one who was full of envy and ended up killing his own brother. And here when Jude refers to these individuals as those who've walked in the way of Cain, he's actually putting it in the negative. He's saying the course of their lives is something that you must not emulate, because it's already negative, and the connection or the reference to Cain already shows the negative side of it. Cain was motivated by envy, which led him to kill his own brother. Cain is a picture of someone who teaches salvation by works. Someone who teaches that you can actually earn your own salvation by the things you do and not coming to God in faith. The way of Cain refers to individuals who attempt to approach God on their terms rather than on God's terms. And this is what you see when you read in chapter 4. This is what you get when you connect to what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 11 and what the Apostle John says. The way of Cain describes any religious system that attempts to earn God's favor by works and rituals rather than reliance on God's grace. The way of Cain is any religious system that appeals to human pride rather than man's desperate condition before God. The way of Cain emphasizes humanity's goodness rather than humanity's sinfulness. The way of Cain teaches that you can be accepted by God any other way and not just the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you see that all this comes out in how Cain approached God in Genesis 4. And it also comes out in how Cain is referred to throughout the rest of the Bible. The Apostle John actually says he was of the evil one. And the author of Hebrews, in contrast to Abel, he says Abel came by faith, but Cain simply came on his own terms. And the way of Cain leads to eternal destruction in hell. And that's why Jude here is saying that these individuals are actually in the way of Cain. These false teachers who are so absorbed in themselves and whose desire is simply the praise of men and the adoration of others are like Cain. They simply want individuals to praise them even when they've not done what is right. These individuals are willing to hate others so that they could have the gain. That's what Cain did to his brother Abel. And the Apostle Jude wants us to see why he's saying woe to these individuals who walk in the way of Cain. Because it's these individuals who don't care about others, but they simply care for their own feelings, and they are willing to hate others in order to elevate themselves. This is what is happening in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When every day we hear of individuals that have caused harm in people's lives, in people's homes, in families, in order to simply elevate themselves, they are in the way of Cain. But Jude also goes on to say, woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error. The King James Version actually reads, and they've run covetously after the error of Balaam. And the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 15 actually tells us that Balaam loved the financial reward of wickedness. And when you read the account of Balaam in Numbers chapter 22 through to chapter 24, this is what motivated him. He loved financial gain. When Balak went to him, approached Balaam to come and prophesy against God's people. And because there was some kind of gain, Balaam was ready to go and do what Balak wanted. And you see, even when you read in Numbers 22 and 23, even though Balaam went pleading before God as in, what should I do in this case? God's answer was very clear to him. Do not go with Balak's messengers. Do not follow them. Do not do what he wants you to do. But somehow you still see Balaam trying to wrestle with God. Yet God had already told him what the answer was. And so when you see the outcome of it all is that even though Balaam did not curse God's people, he actually enticed Balak to cause the people of God to sin. And you read that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, where we are told that Balaam devised a plot to entice the children of Israel to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality. And so Balaam was ready to be a consultant, as it were, to be paid his consultancy fees and yet not be engaged in the work itself. He was willing to get whatever rewards he can get and then to show the king how he can entice these Jews to sin against their God. And you actually see when you read Numbers 25, verse 1 and 2, that the whole nation of Israel was plunged in committing sexual immorality. And all this was the advice of Balaam to the king. And he stood from afar without cursing the nation of Israel. What was Balaam's error? It is preaching for financial gain. Distorting the word of God for personal gain. And when Jude uses Balaam as an example, he's actually saying there are people preaching lies and false doctrine for the sake of gain. We also have preachers today who preach lies because they want people to hear what is itching to their ears. They want to preach a message that will settle well with individuals so that they can give more to them. They preach the gospel for financial gain. They lead people into sin with a type of accommodative preaching, a preaching which does not cause sin, but a preaching that just makes people feel nice. And their motivation behind their actions is covetousness. They are willing to turn or twist the message of the scriptures so that it can suit their hearers. And their hearers will give more to their ministries or more to them, so that at the end of it all, like Balaam, they are willing to open up God's word, but on terms that will be acceptable or pleasing to their hearers. They don't want to preach on sin. They don't want to challenge individuals to search their hearts. They want to preach so that they can accommodate anyone and everyone, so that everyone feels welcome in that church. And Jude is saying, woe to them, for they've run themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error. And the third example Jude brings in comparing these false teachers of his day and to historical facts, he looks at the rebellion of Korah. The rebellion of Korah. The account is found in Numbers chapter 16. And I have time to read Numbers chapter 16, about 49 verses. And you see how Korah and Korah and company rebelled against Moses. And when you read in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 3, Korah and friends gathered themselves, a people from their midst, and rebelled against God. And this is what the Bible says in Numbers 16, verse 3. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" That was Korah's rebellion. Korah's rebellion is picked in those words. Korah instigated a major challenge on the authority of God's appointed leaders. Korah and Co, or Korah and Company, were trying to overthrow God's chosen leaders and to usurp the authority of Moses and ultimately the authority of God in their lives. They wanted to put themselves in charge of the congregation. And they gathered to themselves 250 men. Men chosen from their midst, but also men who were well known and well respected. And they went and rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And ultimately, this rebellion was to God. God, who had chosen Moses and Aaron, and the priestly line was the one that God had appointed, and anyone who was going to be a priest was supposed to be a descendant of Aaron. And Korah, Dathan and Abiram rebelled against Moses. They wanted the authority of Moses, the leadership of Moses, the priesthood of Aaron, and ultimately they were questioning God's wisdom in choosing these men. And Jude is referring us back to this to see the character of Korah and Company. He wants us to notice what was at the center of this rebellion. It was ultimate rebellion against the authority of God. And they attack Moses, a man chosen by God. A man who speaks to God face to face as a man who speaks with his friend. A man who would go in the presence of God and represent the nation of Israel before God. A man who, when coming from the presence of God, will beam with the glory of God and horns of lightning would shine around him. And yet these men had the audacity to rebel against him. And ultimately saying, "Lord, what were you thinking in choosing Aaron and Moses to be our leaders?" And when you read the account in Numbers, God destroyed Korah and Company. God destroyed these men. 250 of them were destroyed. Korah and their families, the earth opened and they were swallowed and thrown into hell alive. And as if that is not enough, God sent a plague in the midst. 14,700 of them were destroyed that day. Even when Moses pleaded with God to spare the congregation, God did not listen. He destroyed all of them, 14,700 of them, plus the 250 that followed Korah and company. And then you add Korah and their families, Dathan and their families, Abiram and their families. And clearly showing that any rebellion against the Almighty God will not be entertained. And this is what Jude is trying to show, that those who've rebelled, who have perished in Korah's rebellion, those individuals who are teaching wrong doctrines and trying to usurp God's authority and put themselves as final authority, God will destroy them as he did with Korah and company. And Jude is saying, these modern day false teachers are in rebellion against God's authority, and they are imposing themselves on the body of Christ as the final authority in matters of life. And we see this in our day to day, very subtle. Individuals who don't want to be accountable to the leadership of the church, to the congregation of God's people. And instead, they decide to have a one-man ministry where everything revolves around them. They are the final authority. They are the ones who know what God is saying to his people. They are the ones who are the representative of the people before God. And they simply do not want to account to any authority. And ultimately, you see that they are slowly rebelling against God as they begin to teach things that are not even in the scriptures. And I'm sure you've met individuals who, when you go to their homes, you probably find a picture of the man of God in their houses. It's no longer the president nowadays. It's to find the picture of a papa or a man of God. And most of them are actually taught to buy a picture and hang it on their walls in their houses. And that each time you look at that picture, all will be well. I know of an individual, when the wife had gone into labor, the mother encouraged the husband to get a picture of T.B. Joshua and put it on the body of the wife, that, oh, we'll be well. So, you don't even know what the picture and the labor have in connection. But somehow people believe these things. And the lady insisted. And the man was almost to a point of giving in. Until a few friends told him, look, this is nonsense. Just throw away that thing. And there are so many people that have now moved their royalty from Christ to these men of God. And everything revolves around these men of God, and Christ has been thrown out of their homes. And Jude is saying, these individuals will perish in Korah's rebellion, or like Korah's rebellion. And Korah's rebellion was a rebellion against the authority of the Almighty God. Cain's sin was that he went before God on his terms. Balaam's sin was a desire to lead God's people into sin for gain. Korah's sin was questioning God's wisdom in appointing Moses and Aaron as leaders. And they were all destroyed. Now, brethren, these examples are not just mere historical facts or historical accounts. Jude employs these three references to show us that these godless men are bent on destroying God's people. They want to mislead God's people away from the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what should be our response to such? How should we respond in light of the trends of our day and our time? We must remember the warnings of the apostles and take them seriously. We must stand and preach against the gospel of greed, the gospel of self-centeredness, and preach Christ and Him crucified. We must have the spirit of the Bereans who would search the scriptures as Paul was preaching. They were busy searching the scriptures to see whether what the apostle was preaching was in line with God's revealed word. These false teachers, despite their erroneous views, they have this great potential to attract huge masses to themselves, either because of their eloquency or because of some outward splendor around them. But we must go back to the scriptures, teach the scriptures, warn people about those who come wearing sheep's clothing, and yet inwardly they are wolves. But we must also join our hearts and plead with the Lord that more solid churches will be planted where the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will continue to be proclaimed, and that those churches will be beacons of light for the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as individuals, we must make sure that we watch our lives. The world is watching us, marking all we are doing, hearing the things we are saying. Let them see the Savior as He shines in you. Let His power control you every day. Amen.